we're hoping to have our Redwood City Councilwoman Jan Horgan's here, but we're going to go ahead and start. And thank you all for coming. So this is our technical working group meeting where we have, you know, more informal conversation about our, we've been going through the initiative, really, and going over all of the feasible items from the FAA and the non-feasible in great detail. What we're going to do with this meeting is focus on the questions that we have submitted, the latest questions that we have submitted to the FAA for response at our December 2nd meeting. But before I get to that, we do have a special guest with us. I'm going to put her on the spot. Beth White, who is with the FAA. She is the Senior Advisor for Public and Industry Engagement. And we certainly are public and industry, and we need to have her engagement with us in lots of ways. And the gentleman who is chuckling, he is... Glenn Moist. And I wanted to say Martin, but I knew that wasn't right because I spent so much time with Glenn Martin in 2016.
Yeah.
You know, I miss him so much. But he's with United Airlines. Thank you for being here as part of the industry engagement. We have, let's just go around and we'll start introduce ourselves. Everyone knows Bert, but hi, Bert.
Hello.
Okay.
Doug Kim, City of Belmont.
Okay.
Justin Cook, Asian Mage.
James Castaneda, coordinator for Around the Corner.
Ron Collins, San Carlos City Council.
Elizabeth Lewis, Town of Alfreton.
Dan Winger, Town of Brooklyn Valley.
Diane Pappin, City of Sam Town.
Yes, okay. And we have our regular cadre of public.
Cadre.
Yay! I can probably name them by name.
It's a pleasure being here with all of you.
And seriously, I think there's a couple more box lunches. There's generous sandwiches you could probably share, and Darlene was smart to
bring them.
Yes, you do.
And we have a gentleman from Oakland area.
Yes, I am.
So your name once more, please.
City of Oakland, and I'm also serving the Port of Oakland Community Noise Forum.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So we're well represented, and I am essentially going to. Can I just do one quick second though, and jump to item number two, which is FAA IP Information Gateway updates on Pirate. And if I can impose upon you, Beth, would you be able to maybe, you know, just, I don't know if you want to stand up or sit down, 5x5,
stand up.
Just to explain to us.
I can project, so I can be heard from wherever I am. So thanks, Elizabeth, I appreciate that. I wanted to kind of take a second, if I could, and hopefully clear up one big misconception, and then I'll happily talk about Pirate. And that is the purpose of the IFP Gateway. The purpose of the IFP Gateway, and IFP stands for, you guys probably already know this, Instrument Flight Procedures. So it is a tool that the FAA constructed for technical aeronautical input and tracking of procedures by the proponents of those procedures. So if United Airlines or the airport of San Francisco or even a round table were to have asked for a procedure to have been created, and that procedure is in the gateway and it goes through the processes that it goes through, there is a place for you to track it. So when these procedures pop up and they say comment period ends on November 13th, as in Pirate, that is us looking for by the technical aeronautical experts their input on this procedure, whether it's some mistake on a chart, whether it's an elevation, whether it's a piece of information they believe will not be working with their flight computer. That's the kind of information that they are looking for in this. Part of the reason why this has been open has never been for public comment. It was open because people like BERT and United Airlines cannot get behind an FAA firewall. So it was for those people to be able to get in and out and make that comment. We are actually, based on that and a lot of concern and confusion, we are going to be changing the gateway so that you get a notification when you go in, probably in the next week or two, that says, please do not leave environmental comment. This is not part of NEPA. This is not part of any kind of community feedback during this period. This is aeronautical. And then going forward, we're going to be working on the gateway to make sure that it can be only be accessed by the people who have procedures who are in the gateway. And that's what it's meant to do. It's never been meant for the community. That's what our community engagement efforts, that's what I was working with roundtables, updating people on procedures. PIRET was updated, I believe, in the April report. So that's where we update people on procedures. This is full of technical information and was never meant as a forward-facing community vehicle. That's not what it's for.
So would you be willing to take a couple of questions?
Sure.
Clarifying questions? First, before the public, can I ask any of our members of the roundtable if you would like to have a question? Anne?
Yeah. And I appreciate that it's technical input you're seeking right now. I think the issues that obviously surface, and I recognize you're going to change the procedure. We won't see this again in the future. Mm-hmm. Even on a technical basis, however, is it not likely that you're going to provide or have the ability to answer a lot of unanswered questions, technically speaking, as well, that surface whenever you post a new procedure? Meaning there's going to be a series of questions that will either come from the public that are environmentally focused properly, but obviously...
Right, and are environmentally focused, not technically focused. Exactly. That's what they're looking for in here.
Exactly, but what's unanswered even here technically, I think, is what happens when you hit, for instance, ARC, something of that nature. It's pretty clear, just from a technical, what's happening on the PIRET in terms of the convergence of the Pacific, et cetera, mm-hmm. and the new gateways. But technically speaking, then there's nothing that sort of tracks out beyond a certain level, if you will. In this case, I'm just using ARC because that was clearly an existing waypoint just renamed. So, again, my question would just be, even for a technical consultant or airline expert to really comment, are there not questions that can be posed by that group who are in a position to comment, who are experts in aviation, et cetera?
So I guess it depends on who the proponent is, and you know, again, if the roundtable's proponent, they would have the ability to comment on a procedure.
Or ask questions.
Right. If that's part of it. So the other thing we're going to do, too, is we're going to start to elevate these procedures. Like PIRET was in a report, but to me, in the same way PIRET was in a report, there's a million things in this report, and there's lots of letters and things, and is it something that's going to cause people concern? So let's have a conversation, let's elevate these, and then let's make sure we have a phone call maybe with the RA and Liz and Bert and say, hey, these are the five things that are in the gateway right now, and here's an update. So that you can have the conversation here, and if there is a question, then it can go back to the working group versus using the portal, which is just not, again, that portal is not meant to take that kind of comment. So those kind of questions and comments that go in are not even addressed unless we had to based on something that happened. Like we had one in Burbank where the same thing happened, and we got flooded with environmental comment. So we had to go in and take all that comment and then put it in a different bucket and weed through all of it to see which ones were environmental because we were worried that we wanted to have that environmental comment be included. We ended up doing a workshop, which was last night and tonight, where we're collecting environmental comments. So that is indeed also added into that. But again, it's the inappropriate menu for it is the issue. Because it is that NEPA environmental comment that we're looking for questions about things.
Any other follow-up questions from anyone? Will there be an opportunity for the public to weigh in on some of their concerns about this proposed procedure.
So with Pirate, what I was saying is that we are, what it looks like now, because it's mostly a consolidation of tracks over the water, and it is raising the waypoint to actually 2,000 feet, so it should be kind of a good news story over there. But I know Mindy is going to be attending the December workshop, and Mindy said she would come and do a presentation and have a discussion about the procedure at that workshop. I just mean they run it.
That's excellent.
But what's the answer to the question?
The answer to this one is that everything is showing us that that's a CADEX procedure. Because
no, but the question I think that Elizabeth asked is how will the public be able to comment on this?
So on
PIRET or other procedures?
Well, the ones that are considered a CADEX, based on the level of environmental impact to them, there is no, it's already category exclusion at no environmental impact. This procedure, and again, she can go through and explain it to you. Most of it is being consolidated. The consolidated tracks are over water. The waypoint.
So the takeaway I'm getting from this and her group, Tola Valley, they responded directly to Jacob's, right? On the IMP gateway,
yes.
And got a response back, which essentially says exactly what you just said. That still doesn't give us comfort that we are not going to experience increased air traffic over our land mass, even if it's 2,000 feet higher or whatever. Wasn't explained. And maybe when Mindy comes in second,
right.
If she gives her presentation, would she be willing?
And she can speak to the environmental reporting that's done and all of that. She can speak to the ground track, she can speak to the environmental work that's done on the procedure.
We just are afraid that we're going to get blindsided by something and wake up 6 months from now when this is being implemented and we're being pummeled by additional flights or lower flights or consolidated flights or whatever that we just don't know. We should have been aware of.
I think that's what we're trying. You know, I know that there has not been that level of engagement.
Yeah.
Years ago, there was a lot of engagement. The engagement fell away.
Yeah.
We're trying very, very hard to re-engage, to have these conversations, to be participating.
Yeah.
That's why I flew up here today to be here for this one.
Thank you.
But I mean, seriously, I think that the best thing to do is to have that conversation with Mindy and walk through that, and then we can even talk through things that are upcoming, if there's any concern in key places, to discuss what might be new procedures that are coming, and we can give, you know, presentations on those. There are some that are going to be, you know, for where they fall in an environmental review. Some of them fall very clearly in being a category exclusion and where we are able to make changes that don't require public comment.
Well, Doug, go ahead. You had a question.
I did, and so I'm not a super NEPA expert, but you said that much of what we're talking about here is a categorical exclusion because
for PIRET.
I'm sorry?
For PIRET. We believe PIRET is, everything we're seeing with PIRET is that it will qualify. It's in environmental right now, but it is targeting to qualify as a CADEX.
Sure. I guess what caught my attention is you said, based largely on the fact a lot of what we're talking about is over the water.
Yes.
But what about those movements that are not over the water? In making a CAD exclusion, I know that's it's binary, right? It's either excluded or it's not. Can what's happening over populations override the CAD exclusion? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think the best thing, honestly, is for Mindy to go into that. I don't want to go into detail that I'm not as familiar with. But I think that everybody may see this as being somewhat of a good news story. Again, where the planes are flying is where they are historically now, and they're raising the waypoint 2,000 feet. So, and it's something that I think was being asked for anyway. So I think that the thing to do is have Mindy give you guys that brief and then talk to Mindy, because she can speak better to the environmental. I don't want to get in areas where I'm not as skilled.
One kind of final question, I think,
sure.
Is a little still on the technical side of it, is that and I referenced it when I just got it because I read it very carefully and we've studied it, and obviously I agree with you that it's an over-motion principally,
mm-hmm.
and it's consolidating what's being done now. But the question I think that everybody has is that because it's OPD RNAV,
mm-hmm.
that even when it hits ARC, you know, the old Waypoint. It's now, I believe, on a full track coming in further east, which obviously is all over land, all over communities. And is that correct in the sense that today, I don't think we have an RNA, but at the Woodside, they're being dispersed and they're coming in different directions. By concentrating them, whether there are more or less or the same number of flights, isn't it true that the actual procedure, technically speaking, would converge them all onto a track that would bring them in over various communities?
Again, I think the key thing is to talk to Minnie, but my understanding was, when I talked to her the other day, is it's joining an existing procedure. So I don't think it's anything that is, again, once it even joins up, is changing what's happening today. And she's also said that it's there. It looks like also that it's only into SFO. There's different tracks that are, it's not going to be Oakland that's coming over here too. Oakland has a different path.
After, is that what it says?
It's not what it says.
Yeah, the report
is Oakland uses as well, and you can see on the...
Well, but there's a place that, again, this is where I want Mindy. I don't want to get you guys wound up on something I'm going to say
incorrectly.
Right.
Well, what I can say from what's been published on the IFP gateway is everything up to about here is over water.
Right.
ARG is here, which is very close to the Woodside VOR.
100 feet.
It's at 8,000 feet. And that's what this portion looks like. You can see everything up passive, which, and briny. There's briny right there. Briny's right here. ARG is here, very close to the Woodside VOR. 8,000 feet. Beyond that, it's going to be vectors. So, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
We're not disputing. So maybe it is dispersed after
that. It's not dispersed,
of course.
Based on vectors, it should.
It won't be dispersed. It won't be dispersed. We know what that drawing looks like.
So, could you take a couple questions from?
I'll try. I'm happy to try.
Well, then Mary, Joe, and then Darlene.
And so, anything if I don't know, by the way, guys, I will take back and make Mindy.
And we just
going to
be,
I have
respectful.
More, based on what you just said.
I got a sandwich, so I've earned my key.
So what you just said, and because you are the FAA, you're concerned about public engagement for the FAA.
Yes, absolutely.
I want you to clarify, how do you engage the public on categorical exclusions? Because that is very confusing to me. What's the process?
Yeah, well, I mean, if something is as a finding of no significant impact, you know, that's where we have the ability legally to put through a procedure. And we're working with, trying to work with ground tables, trying to work with airports, but there becomes a point in how we're doing things where we have to be able to make changes in the system, too, to make the system work.
That's okay, you're the FAA. My question is, what is the process to engage the public from the FAA perspective on categorical exclusion?
It's probably discussing them and presenting things at the roundtable.
What is the policy for the FAA?
I don't know if there actually is a policy on how to discuss how we're doing CADEXs. I think we're trying to make sure that we're being more transparent and making people more aware of when changes are going to happen, even those that don't require certain levels of NEPA input.
Okay.
So having a Mindy come and brief, having a discussion about it at a round table to make sure people know exactly what's going to happen and can have an understanding.
Okay. So one last, and then I'm about to stop. My understanding is when a categorical exclusion has been signed, there's a 60-day appeal process. Therefore, relying on Mindy coming to the San Francisco Roundtable is not going to help the public at large. And I'm not even talking just this roundtable, I'm talking about the country. So how do you handle this deadline that is determined by the FAA and the lack of a due process for the public to be able to come?
So let me take that back and ask our legal team what the process is. I know that we have, so depending on what it is, we have a Federal Register notice. That's not always something all the cool kids look up with the Federal Register. But it is kind of the NEPA process. But I will come back and let you know exactly what the steps are that we go through for a CADEX.
Okay. I think right now the IFP gateway is our only source of information to know that something's coming and decide we need to pay attention in case we need to take further action. So it alarms me if the IFP gateway is going to get removed
because we don't have any tools then to meet your deadline if you want to challenge category exclusion. So this is a, we don't want to be antagonists at all. We're trying to educate ourselves. Yep. But we don't want to get into a situation, which we all know, we're too late because we're not even aware it happened. Yep. Even though these are all cities, we can't move. Yeah, quick. It's hard enough with the 6 days. Yep. If we even have less than 6 days, it would be hard. So I'm not sure what I communicate back to my city based on what I heard here, because there isn't an alternative path. So at least if we submit it, we're on record that we officially submitted it within a time frame that is unclear, through a process that's unclear. So we're not
trying to be negative. I know what you're saying. I get it.
And I can't trust.
Yeah. I think this needs to be something where this exact conversation needs to be posed as a question that we can work through what's the best way to do this. Because this isn't, I mean, like, you know, I know what you're saying, but everybody sending emails and letters to us about extending a deadline that is technical, we're not going to extend a technical deadline because the questions aren't about the technical deadline. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's the, it causes, you've got expectations on both sides that are being mismanaged. Mm-hmm. But I think if we say, we need a place to be able to track things, or we need to have a mechanism, whether it's the roundtable or in the meetings or a you know, these things are in here for a long period of time. I mean, we could create some kind of awareness where there's a discussion about what's proposed, what's a starting deadline. I mean, we could have, you know, I think that's a much better way to have a conversation, because we could be looking at what's on in this, but on a docket instead of.
I'm all for that. I think what's awkward for all of us is nothing exists now. And
right.
We all know that there are time limits that are imposed by the FAA.
Yep.
So it's an awkward situation. I mean, we're not trying to agree with you.
No.
We just, this is our only vehicle that can document that we did a timely and
sure.
So if I may, this sounds like a question that we formulate.
Okay.
Response at future meetings. So.
Yep. I can't imagine that other roundtables or other bodies already asked the FAA this, or that there's not some other kind of structure that we're just not aware of.
Well, and there probably might not be another structure, but it doesn't mean we can't create something. I mean, I think I'm all about, like, what's the problem we're actually trying to solve. The problem we're trying to solve is you guys want to have as much awareness as possible, much advance notice as possible, to ask the questions you need to understand when this is going to happen, to make sure you can be ready.
Exactly.
That's the kind of thing we can say, okay, this is how we're going to deal with that.
I don't want to belabor the point, and pardon my naivete, is there a time sometimes when the technical crosses over with the environmental, or you classify it as purely technical, that's within your domain, and there's no opportunity for public input, or is there more than one way to skin a cat technically?
Yeah.
I
think that
this may be cut and dry. I don't know.
And I'm on the edge of where I might understand too.
Fair enough.
Is the question I think that we need to get answered exactly that is there, what's the timing, and what's some of the place to have a conversation with something, especially that is a category exclusion, because as you're saying, if there is a time period and you want to know what the challenge time is, and if there is something that changes and what happens, that's one of the questions I need to go back and ask. What's that timing? Because anything else that would be an EA or an EIS, we don't see the EIS very often. That's like those big things at airports, you know, when you're doing these really big environmentals and they're 5 and 6 years and stuff like that. Is most of ours are environmental assessment, if it's not a category exclusion. You know, that's the kind of the levels of environmental. So that one is we've instituted as part of our new enhanced community engagement that we have meetings with the airports, meetings with the roundtables, meetings with any other select government officials. We do congressional briefs, and then we do that actually even before we do an EA workshop, which is also part where there's, so we have kind of give the community 2 bites of the apple to see what it is we're looking at. But that's where we've taken what we've learned from these experiences with things that we did in 2014 and 2015, and we've applied that on the front end. So that's what I'm saying. I think there's a way we can still figure out how to do this. We just need to solve it from the standpoint of what's the problem we're trying to solve.
I mean, if the FAA would notify us about these workshops ahead of time, we can we'll be there.
Well, but those workshops, like I'm saying, if that's if we're doing, like if we're doing an environmental assessment, we'd absolutely, and we'd have to be part of a project that we're doing, and we would brief you even before we got
there. But you're saying it's a CADEX, we don't need it.
Right, right, exactly. And that's the one I'm trying to get to
that's
say that.
The gotcha.
But you know yes. what? I think Obama was that way. It wasn't CADEX, but we only had a very short period of time.
I was actually at the NextGen Advisory Committee last week, and I presented to the committee assembled, including the administrator of the FAA. And one of the points that I made at that meeting was that activism is only going to increase as concentration increases. One of the things that I'm not sure you're aware of is that the FAA, that a rule has been adopted, which basically means that a CADEX can be achieved if traffic is concentrated, because it affects fewer people. People that are affected are going to be much more affected. So the fact that there's a CADEX is not reassuring. And this is a case in point. We don't know what's going to happen after ARC. There may be a concentration over traffic that affects fewer people than today, but the people who are affected are going to be hammered in a much more significant way, and that's going to lead to more activism and more angry people at meetings like this. So that's the first observation. The second observation is that as a result of changes like this, and I speak with some passion here because this is exactly what happened to me in Mountain View. Many of us in the community have spent considerable time learning how to read flight plates and working to come up with suggestions, as I did, with the council members that were representing us during the Ad Hoc Advisory Committee for San Jose Airport. And we came up with 47 suggestions, which included some technical things, like do we have to have exact altitude and exact speed settings at these waypoints that would be appropriate to have been considered at a time like considered during this process here. So a concrete suggestion that I might make is that you not shut down access to the portal. That will not be perceived as the FAA moving in the direction of transparency, I can assure you. But allow comments to be submitted under one of two categories. One is this is a technical comment, or two, this is an environmental concern. And then people will self-segregate the comments, and the ones that are all environmental concerns, you can shove over the people do the NEPA work. Finally, I would suggest that before the FAA shuts down public access to this portal, that you work with roundtables like this to identify what the follow-on process is going to be to answer some of the questions that are coming up here, as opposed to declaring that this is going to be shut down and saying, well, we're going to have to work on something in the future. Let's come to a shared vision before a decision to shut this down is finalized.
I appreciate that.
Thank you. All right. Let's see. Oh, newly re-elected Councilwoman
Cecilia. She had to come the farthest.
It just looks like it. Yeah. Thank you. Okay.
Good.
All right. And
one more question.
And then we'll let Beth sit down for a while.
And this is technical in the sense that what I want to make sure, because you did say one thing, partially following on Burke's question, and then also something that you said, which you mentioned as you introduced this, that in fact, from the FAA's perspective, raising the old Woodside VOR, the new ARC, to 8,000 was a change plus 2,000, which is interesting because we've never heard it confirmed that it was as low as 6,000 in Woodside, which we've been talking about for a long time.
And
so
I think it may be the difference too. Again, I do not want to go wrong.
AGL versus mean sea level, right? And so, but at any rate, so it's now in writing, which it was something that has been discussed for a long time. And the question I have that follows on what Bert said is that in the new procedure, the pilot procedure, everything's vectored from that point eastward. Then my question is, what happens today? Is it vectored from that point eastward when they're coming in on the OTA, not the OPD, not the new RNAV? But is it also the case that today when they arrive over the Woodside VOR, they're being vectored?
I don't know, Bert, do you know?
On the true oceanic tailored arrival, it goes from Woodside to Menlo.
Correct. So it goes to Menlo.
We get them.
And that's the concentrated traffic.
Right, that's...
That's if they fly it as chartered.
Chartered, which is a very small percentage.
It is
not. Only about 8%
via... Half to less.
Yeah,
now, they oftentimes break them off. Even a briny, which is the point over the water here. Other times they break them off just before at the shoreline and then vector them. So those can go all over the place.
So looking at where we are today, which is what I'm really trying to get to, for everybody, both those of us who are in one area, the next area, but on over across the peninsula, we can't really compare it well. And that, I think, is obviously the area that there's concern. There's no easy way for any of us to have an assessment of, is this another surfer, where suddenly there's going to be such a concentration of new flights coming in, or is it going to take the same number of flights and just put them on a similar track with now an established 8,000 minimum starting point for all of that dispersion?
And again, hopefully what I'll take back to Mindy is that we want to be able to see current tracks and then what we believe to be,
exactly.
So then you can have a visual comparison.
Dad,
yeah,
one more question?
Yeah, sure.
Yes, by the way, thank you for coming out.
Yes.
I know it's we're on our best behavior today, but we're
we gave her lunch.
I have managed the environmental program for the Caltrain San Fran services, so I totally understand that when you come out with rulemaking, 99% of people who come out are here to talk about the project, the program, right? And so for environmental staff, it's tough to sort. Actually, it's not tough to sort through it because 99% of it is not environmental related. But you know that when advocates want to fight a project at City Hall or at FAA, the environmental document is where you lawyer up and where you bring the agency to the table in a more substantive way. My understanding of this is really not a question for you, but. The way environmental law is set up, whether it's CEQA or NEPA, you can have 99 explanations for why something is a CAT exemption at the state level or a categorical exclusion. But if you can bring a substantive argument, even if it's a minority opinion, that suggests that maybe it doesn't get that CAT X, then the lead agency has to think twice. Now, they can still say, you know what, we don't think it rises to that level of substantial evidence, but it's my long way of saying, whether you're an advocate or a local government, I think it's incumbent on us to, with the information we have, make the case that while 99% of what the FAA may be saying supports a CAT X, that there is another argument, that 1%, that suggests maybe it deserves something more. Maybe not an EIS, like you said, but maybe a little bit more public scrutiny through different environmental documents.
Yeah, and for us, usually the next step is environmental assessment.
Right.
That's how.
All
he's
right.
Got the cool new iPad, by the way.
Yes, he does. And he uses it. I see him do it all the time in meetings.
I watch movies on it, too.
as well. All right. Beth, thank
that's
you for
very
interacting with us. Appreciate
yes.
it so
yes.
much.
Yes, my pleasure.
Okay, so that means that we kind of took number two ahead of number one. But I think I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Justin. You want to do the overview of
the
questions and in the letters in your package dated November 5th. These have been updated and they do include the pirate state question as number one. So go ahead, Justin.
Okay, sure. So we resubmitted and added a question. So the FAA would be able to address this at the next roundtable meeting on October 8th.
No.
So, wait.
December 5th.
December 5th?
Yeah, things are a little funky in the letter. It's December 5th, not December 4th. And in the second line in the first paragraph, it's not December 48th, but it is December 5th.
Okay.
Ron brought that to my attention.
Did he?
December
48th,
so it's like January.
Proof
of yeah. My apologies. We were wanting to make sure we got those out in time.
I know. James was just flailing.
48 hours, you got it now.
He was really
So.
Anyway, so just some of the adjusting his calendar.
I know. It's like getting confused. Yes, we are. We are. So I'll kind of summarize.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go with item one.
Right.
Deals with runway 10. Say hey and city departure procedures. The concern was over the proximity to the shoreline. We request to move back to the departmental procedure. FAA deemed that not feasible due to the divergent heading requirement, that sort of thing. So our question is, or questions, I should say.
There's a couple of them.
Yeah. Is if the departure procedure for runway 10 during southeast flow conditions, not opposite direction operations, cannot be recommissioned, what would be required to achieve a new procedure with a similar heading such as 080 or 085 that keeps aircraft largely over the bay? We would like to examine a wide variety of options, including creating a new and decommissioning and or greatly modifying the say city departure procedures. Examine the use of a single stream departure both day and night with projected volumes.
So essentially,
we layered the question.
Yes. We talked about it at our last meeting,
yes.
And Mindy did a great job explaining, well, the reason it couldn't do what we had asked was because there was this 15 degrees of separation and, you know, wasn't there. Wait a minute, can't be. Decommissioned one of those tracks, and what we really want is this. Do whatever is necessary
to get it over.
Yeah. You know, so we'll see. I feel like we're trying to focus the question such that they have to really respond. Do you have a question?
I was just going to ask Bert if he thought that this was, since you're one of our resident experts here, and obviously Justin, I know we're working on this, because you were in that discussion as well, and Elizabeth, I think, described it in the sense that that's really what we were attempting to do. Do you think this question is one that's direct enough that the FAA will be able to respond to?
The issues that came up even after our discussion, I met with the SFO Tower and spoke with them a bit. And they say they're actually still trying to get another divergent departure so they could have dual departures. So they would like to keep Say Hey, which is this one, and City, which is very similar. Both of them go to the City waypoint here. And so they would like to be able to do the divergent, and you need the 15-degree separation to do that. The original one they had intended to do it was fog, and fog was too far over, interfered with open, it got shut down almost immediately, and so it's no longer even in the cadre of things they can use. So they have Say Hey and City. And for years, after we noticed that fog got closed down, we said, well, shift over to Dunbar and push them back over. I was unaware that the tower was still trying to get dual departures so that they could operate more on a normal schedule, reduce the risk of flights going out into the wee hours of the morning. Does help noise abatement, I'll admit, but is there any way to perhaps shift this a bit more over and then pull the other one over a little further, not interfering with open traffic, and maybe you get the best of both worlds? So we'll have to see what the FAA say, but I think it's clear enough that they would understand.
That's what you're trying to do. Okay. Thank you.
Anyone have a comment on this at this point? So this is going to be up for discussion December 5th.
Elizabeth?
Yes, John.
Along those lines, these analysts at FAA, they're not dummies, right? I mean, when they get a two-dimensional question, like from us in the past, that they can brush away with a yes, no. They'll give us a yes or they'll give us a no, right? This question is just a old-fashioned way of saying, can you be a little bit more dynamic in how you problem solve, right? They're capable of doing this kind of exercise and problem solving now, right? Is this going to get them to do their job? Am I missing something?
Thought is yes. That's why we retooled the way we asked. We put out a problem statement, so it's very visible. Here's what we have that's our issue. Now here's our questions. So that they can see both ends of it, not just the question and leading them down a tunnel. We're trying to say, okay, here's the big picture, what we want, but here's what we have when we have questions.
So if we're gonna be charitable, they would say, well, you never asked this question before, even though they're really responsible for trying to problem solve and looking at scenarios. So this, you think, actually has a chance of getting them to dig in a little deeper and do some real problem solving?
I'm hopeful.
Okay.
I mean, we've been giving them that feedback, too. We've had post-meeting calls with the FAA, talked with Sean Kuzik and his staff, talked to Mindy and some of the others, and said, hey, guys, we're asking you to be a little more fluid with us. We think you understand where we're heading. Would you please at least, if you don't, but when you get our questions, say, I'm concerned that you're asking this. Can't do that, but are you asking this? Yay, amen, that's where we're headed. And so I think we're actually going in that direction.
And we stated right at the beginning, too, please be prepared to discuss alternate solutions. I mean, we were trying to get at that. Like, don't just say no.
Right.
What else can you,
Yes. We're talking about questions that are part of the roundtable.
Yes.
And we've had this discussion a little bit before, too, is that I think that one of the things that we're trying to figure out structurally and work through, and maybe as part of this and what you're doing at the roundtable, is the other problem solving is where's the best place to have that discussion? I think it's sometimes challenging to have the discussion at the big meeting versus having the discussion at the technical working group level here. And that's one of the things we're looking to address is how do we figure out a way to make sure that we can have people available. By the way, this timing is actually a big deal for us, that it would mean this is better because we have people on shift work, so in the middle of the day, it's maybe a lot easier for us to get a technical person to come to us and talking to our team about that. Like, what are some of the obstacles to having people on a regular basis? I think the other thing is the obstacle is presenting the problem or the challenge that you feel like you're trying to address and the questions below it elicits a discussion that is about problem solving, not the concern of, I don't use this in a pejorative form, but a fishing expedition, going down and thinking, well, what if it's not that, then about this, what about this, versus this is what I'm trying, this is the challenge we see, how do we address this challenge? Because you may have a different idea than we do. We have some thoughts and ideas, but maybe you could help us. I think the round table is a tough, I think it's kind of like playing on Broadway, and it's really hard for people sometimes to commit to something and be concerned that they're committing the agency to something at that level. And I'm hopeful that we're going to start to have people here on a more regular basis.
Okay.
So just to add a little color to that discussion.
Well, ideally, we'd like to have you at both meetings. Because I love you. We can't get enough.
Well, and I think, it's the appropriate personnel. For us, I think one of the things that we'd like to see is at the main meeting, we'd like to see a representative from the regional administrator's office with support from the technical, who may be the technical that are attending this meeting. That's the format we'd like to see going forward.
And we'd love to have some from North County.
Sure. Understood.
Just to draw the
name. I'm aware of the noteworthy Glenn Martin and the family Cloud Faith.
Yeah.
I'm hoping months from now they'll say, why don't you bring that back?
That's pretty good.
That'd be good.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right, so that's question number one. We're really wanting to get some relief from our foster city, right?
Yes.
Right. And follow up to what we can say.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget, there is a question.
Yes. Okay. Problem number two. Question number two.
Okay. This one deals with the state departure procedures, bringing large volumes of flights over the peninsula. Previously, the volume was split between the port and the offshore. So it kind of leads to the questions. And I'll just read them. What would be required to achieve converting the offshore departure procedure into an RMAP departure procedure? And one, change the angle to stay over the Pacific Ocean. to repeat the extent possible the geographical path of the offshore from taking from takeoff to the Pacific Ocean, and three, connect at Foyle or another similar offshore waypoint while remaining clear of the special use airspace. If the offshore cannot be turned into an RNAV, what will be required to construct a departure procedure that achieves the same basic ground track? We requested them to provide Google Earth images and graphics, including waypoints, for this. We actually received comments back or wanting for clarification.
Mr. Bull.
So we added that.
We had submitted this question, the first three questions, October 8th in anticipation of this November 8th meeting. And obviously they were working on it. And so Mr. Brooks said, could you clarify this question? And so this additional clarification language is something Justin answered him with. So they were looking at this question number two in detail. So hopefully.
And I think what got him confused was change the angle. What does that mean, change the angle? So I basically followed it with the chart and said, this is what we're looking at, and try to use language that they might understand. Essentially, what it came down to was just stay over the ocean. I mean, that's what we're trying to accomplish there.
Okay.
So hopefully that clarifies mm-hmm. things.
Okay. Because our objective is to get relief from our peninsula residents. Okay. Any questions or comments on that?
I guess I find the wording, I'm now starting in the how the question was worded, Justin.
Okay, yes.
I think, and I'm looking at the top of page two, I think it's a little confusing to say if the offshore DP cannot be turned into an RNAV, but what would be required to ask the open-ended question like that, I think it's not necessarily productive for us. So because you're now focused, I think, based on the comments you've already gotten back from them, you may want to think of meaning, you know what would be required. You need them to stay over the ocean, to get out over the ocean.
Right.
I think, because that first part to me was a little ambiguous, I'm not sure from them, their perspective would be too.
Yeah.
Any other comments?
Did you already said?
Yeah.
Which we want you to stay over the ocean. Possible.
Yeah. Okay. Item number three.
All right. The big one. I might get Bert's assistance with this one too.
Okay.
Essentially, this focuses on the stick waypoint and the request to move it north, northeast, or east. Basically getting it to allow more altitude gain before turning over, back over land. FAA's response, they stated that they were in process of moving it 0.44 nautical miles east, southeast. And they don't support moving it north because of Oakland structures. There's also new criteria or RNAV SIDS that requires 15 degrees of the runway center line. And the stick waypoint is 22-ish degrees from the end of the runway. I think it's one right. Is that correct? I think one
is that
right.
A technical term, 22-ish?
Yeah, 22-ish. And good point. So it has not currently been moved, and so our question is, what would be required to have the FAA overlay the proposed new stick waypoint with the current stick waypoint in the same image and provide both the current and proposed stick departure procedures in Google Earth KML files? This will include the ground track for the procedure it is today, as well as the procedure as it would look with the new stick waypoint. we would appreciate any model flight track information for these two waypoints. Please provide design notes for the change in the stick waypoint location. So, I mean, we really need to know the status. I mean, Bert, do you have, by any chance, any updates from you?
It was due to be updated in September, mid-September. We noticed that there was change in the IFP gateway, and it was only to a leg of the procedure much further south. And
that's the Young transition.
Yes. So it's the Young transition, which is this leg here. And as you know, Port is actually down Half Moon Bay, right in the bay. And so Foyle's offshore. So much further down than it had been prior. The area that we were asking about is up here, this waypoint here. And so that's what we were expecting the change to occur here at Stick, going east, southeast over about here, roughly. And when asked, the FAA said, originally, yes, it's due to change due to procedural requirements. And when we noticed in the gateway, only the Young transition was changing, we said, what happened? They said, well, we got a one-time pass on it. Next time we touch this procedure, we have to make that change. And we said, well, in the interim, since we know it's coming, can we at least see the visuals on how the arc is going to change? And that's what this is about.
And if that does change, how will that affect our business?
Right. So right now, if it goes, say, like this, something through here, what would it tighten it up? Would it send it further up? What would it do to it?
Yeah.
Would it make it, since it's coming east, south, southeast, would it be at a higher altitude as it comes across? Mm-hmm. All these are questions that we're asking.
The only other question I might add in here is sense of timing. Is there, because it sounds like they've been, it's been back and forth, and maybe we're going to do it, or we thought we were going to do it, is, you know, could you give us a sense of what the timing would be for the, for addressing it?
Probably is. I did it late at night. We were working under the gun to get it out.
That explains to all of us.
Yeah, we had a phone call late in the day, and I said, all right, I'll do it.
No problem, I'll work okay.
No worries.
So item number four, obviously we know what the problem is and our questions. Let's just go straight.
You want to go ahead?
Yeah.
Before we go on, can you tell me what pirate means?
All right.
Given my short tenure on this committee.
Well, it's a new procedure. It's a new label of a new procedure, right?
Yes.
And they've got ARG and Briny.
Well,
they've got a whole theme.
We get a Captain Hook.
It's a
perverse sense of humor.
They do tend to follow a
theme.
Once they will start something new. So since this is an oceanic one, they came off of the waypoint here, Pirate. You'll notice that a lot of the alphabeticals coming across will either follow ABC.
Yeah.
So we had Alcoa, Cine, Symbol. Those are the oceanic tracks. And then when they started jumping onto this one, they used the P's. So we had Paint, then Jump Super, and then Passive. Became Pirate, Briny, and then so they continued from here on in the oceanic theme from Briny to Arg or the Pirate. Laugh all you want. We had seen this one, 2013 originally when they asked if the airport would support it. And we said, no. There was a lot of conjecture and issues out there. It was dropped at the time.
In 2013.
So the FAA was going to continue with it, and then they dropped it. So when I was asked by the TRAGON if SFO would be supporting this, we said, with the troubles we're having out there right now, no. Sorry. It's a lightning rod we don't want to touch.
But they didn't come back around before publishing this?
It came back up all of a sudden.
Just all of a sudden. I mean, so see, we don't like surprises like this, especially when Bert's surprised.
I remember you said you hadn't seen anything on it.
Okay. 2013 was the last I saw anything, and then it got swept up in the carpet, so we let it go.
Justin, but, and I'm sure you've had this conversation because you've been working with Bert, but in 2013, this procedure came up.
I'm sorry, I was talking about something else, though I wasn't actually. I missed the beginning of that, I apologize.
The question that I believe Elizabeth is asking is, since this was originally brought up in 2013, they asked if the SFO would support it through the TRACON, and we said, no, that's a lightning rod, we're not going to touch that. It's a political lightning rod. And they said, oh, it's political? We said, yes. They started charging down the road still, and then all of a sudden, boom, it disappeared. We were told they quit. So all of a sudden it appears on the gateway a month ago. Hey, we're pressing forth with the Pirate. And they're like, oh, really? Okay. That's news to us.
This is the kind of things that make everybody a little uncomfortable. And, you know, because if Bert's not being notified in advance and kind of brought along with this, and, you know, we're always left. I feel like I'm the last to know in so many things. When my kids do something wrong, whatever. But anyway,
I appreciate that. No.
Got it. Okay. So Justin, do you want to kind of go through the little Pirate questions and some of these concerns that have been brought up to us, just so that everybody is comfortable talking about?
Sure. Number one, what would be required for the FAA to provide a graphic representation of Pirate that displays the projected flight paths, estimating the projected corridor of flight and altitudes in 1,000-foot increments on a Google map?
You want to see a visual. What's your...
Probably should. I thought about this after seeing this. They will say, fine, it terminates at Arg.
That's right.
And
that's,
say,
that's what I was
this is what it is right there.
Yeah.
We want to say we want to see it
defined. All the way to final.
To the SFO.
All the way to final.
You know, let me just say, okay, it's November 8th. We could do a little, after our meeting here, another little update and send them an update of refinement of our questions.
Yeah. What we meant to say was.
Yeah.
To be more complete.
Yes. And it's only 3 days late, right? It'd be only 3 days.
We'll call that a pass.
We'll call that a pass.
All right.
Great.
Beth said you can submit this.
We're really trying. Okay.
Okay, number two. Provide information on whether this procedure result in any changes between the current flight paths and altitudes being flown today from the Pacific coastline to the Woodside VOR to the bay.
To the final destination.
And I, sorry, can I suggest something?
Oh, yes, Mary Jo.
So the word procedure is very tricky because the FAA reads procedure as it ends at R. So don't use the word procedure, or you have to supplement and say procedure and vectored flights all the way to final. And I would say because it applies to both SFO and Oakland, for both SFO and Oakland.
Okay.
sorry to be picking, but I'm on the cast.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes, please do.
Instead of the phrase in parentheses there, from the Pacific Ocean coastline to the Woodside port, I might suggest for airplanes arriving in the vicinity of the pirate. The reason I say that is because there are airplanes that arrive in the vicinity of the pirate that are routed over the San Mateo Bridge, 92, into Oakland. And one of the things that is mentioned in the text of this is that this procedure, pirate, can be used for airplanes into Oakland. And so it raises the possibility that there could be a partial or even wholesale shift of airplanes south from currently flying over the San Mateo Bridge to flying over Woodside, Stanford, Palo Alto, and Austin.
Mr. Oakland. Mr. Oakland would like to say something.
A little bit of explanation. Those open arrivals over San Mateo were started back in the 1970s, and it's been for the oceanic arrivals over Pirate from Honolulu.
Okay.
Oakland's never had that many, but you've always had them over that area.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not.
I didn't realize it, but you've always had them over
there. I'm not disputing that.
Oh, and I just want to provide that information.
You just don't want more.
It's not for Oakland's coming from the north or from the south in the United States. It's for the oceanic arrivals from Honolulu.
Right. Those arrivals,
typically we get those transoceanic FedEx, the few Hawaii flights that they have.
Yeah.
Those are the ones we typically see.
But that may be the case. They often, I believe, they often arrive at 5 in the morning. They're big airplanes.
And the FedExes get in about 7
o'clock at night. They're small ones. There's a small number. They can have a significant impact. The point that I'm making is, if the implementation of this procedure with the language that's been described could lead to those flights being transitioned from overflying the San Mateo Bridge to overflying the pirate procedure that crosses Woodside, that would be a shift of airplane traffic south. And that's something that I think this committee would be interested in. Mm-hmm. And certainly the residents of Woodside and Capitola Valley would be interested in understanding so that they can comment on it.
We've seen some of the tailored arrivals that follow our track that are open.
There are. I looked at this morning, and there are airplanes. In fact, more of the airplanes in Oakland fly over than fly the San Mateo path. But if the intent is to rationalize those ones that are flying over San Mateo to also fly over R, then it's an increase in traffic over Woodside and Port Phillip, Stanford, Palo.
It's a noise shift.
And a noise shift.
So we want to clarify that in our question.
Right, so that was my point, was to change the question, to either add that as a separate question or to reword the question to allow that to be included as part of the answer. I believe that the airplanes in question are all arriving Pirate, but they diverge at Pirate.
Time out. So we're taking notes on stuff that we're going to send out tomorrow. I want to be very clear that we're doing small clarifications and
not.
But that should be the wording. I mean, those are, we can find some new wording, but we can't completely rework everything. It might be something that can come up
If I may.
Yes.
Under number 4, would the FAA provide draft representation showing the evolution of oceanic arrivals for both SFO and Oakland over the last 5 years?
Yeah.
Take, for instance, 1 month, same month, 2013, 2018.
Yeah.
I think we might nail it with that.
Yeah.
Well, that'll tell us the past. It won't tell us what the intent is going forward.
Okay, say, and going forward.
I think modifying the second question would allow us to capture the intent going forward with respect to the San Mateo Bridge crossing.
Right. Okay, well.
And I'm just trying to temper our expectations here.
Yes.
You saw these edits, right? We can't try to move as fast as we can with the time allowed, so we're going to be working on these immediately, so I just want to make sure within the confines of what we're able to do.
Okay.
Well, that may be, but this has been posted for the last month almost, and there has been time to, this business of trafficking shifted is very consequential, or has the potential of being very consequential. So it's important that this be.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. simply modify four and just say in the future. So you don't have to rewrite.
Yeah.
You know, to your point, I know you've got to get it out, and so just don't need rewritten sentences.
Taken off the procedure.
A vector.
Yes.
Yeah, I had a separate question for that.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's, I think this number three is actually
yes.
Very, the most important.
The intent of this question,
right.
Just so everybody
right.
knows,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
These questions are a hybrid of about 10
that
came in from all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of them wanted to know how many United flights would be doing this, how many blah flights would do this. And it's like, we don't know. Nobody knows. And the FAA is going to default and look at us and go, ask SFO. And we're going to go.
And I think there are actually two questions here. Yours is absolutely right. And I just created one that said, what percentage are being vectored from R eastward?
Yeah.
And that's a separate question. And the other one, though, that to me is at the heart of this whole issue is there going to be a new concentration of flights coming in on the procedure? Which is, what number of flights could we expect as an increase? And I'm told there may not be any, because if it's just really institutionalizing the current, you know, non-RNAV, then it may not be a big change. There may not be that many flights. So the
basically,
real question is it going to
increase? It's a matter of, all of a sudden, is Hawaii the destination to go to? Or is Hawaii no longer the destination to go to? It's in flux. I mean, it could change. We saw it go from 3% to 4%. In the last 5-8 years.
Well, and I think there's not a lot of confidence that there might not be other changes that are contemplated to the north and the south.
Yes.
That would funnel them in, because now it's an OPD RNAV procedure, as opposed to a very specialized OTA, which was flown by very few aircraft because they weren't equipped to do it. And so I think it's the concentration issue that. It will go the furthest if they answer it the way that I'm thinking they may, which is it's not a big deal right now because there's not going to be a lot of new flights coming in over using this procedure. So that's why it's a separate question in my mind. Are there going to be new ones coming in, and how many, you know, what's your projection? And how many of them are going to be vectored,
If we learn the shift from a regular procedure to an OPD, with vectoring afterwards, with the surfer. So OPD, for sure, the procedure ended, you know, at manual before, now moved to eddy, and there is definitely full concentration here because you're on procedure. After eddy, after eddy now, it's supposedly vectored. Nothing has changed. It's the same heading most of the time. So vectoring is not dispersion for air traffic control. Vectoring means they give a heading, they give the speed, they give all this stuff, and most of the time, until there is a safety problem or too much congestion at the runway, then they will truly vector and move them around. But let's not be fooled. After R, because everything will have been concentrated at R, everything will be, most of the time, 80% plus of the time, will be concentrated over some neighborhood that will include Portola Valley, et cetera. Very likely, Los Altos, Mountain View, Palo Alto, East Palo Alto, Menlo Park. Mm-hmm. For both SFO and Oakland, watch what we learned 3 years ago when we're still suffering from that today. Mm-hmm. So if you could ask questions in December about that vectoring part, and the heading that they're planning to use, that's very important.
I'm all for that, if I may.
Yes.
I'm all for that. I just will say, from observing this procedure and looking at knowledge of the surfer, even though it terminates at eddy, the visual procedures were brought out to meet it with a new leg. And so if we went ahead and looked at any of the other instrument procedures. Let's go ahead and look at the visuals real fast. So
they don't like visuals.
And they don't like visuals, so well,
it doesn't matter to us.
On this surfer. So let's bring up the tiptoe real fast. A quiet bridge. So you can see this leg here was built out to eddy. So that's why it's concentrated. Now, as far as ARG on in, that is a vector with controllers saying, oh, I need to bring them to the right, such a heading, and I need to account for that turn back up. So that I believe the dispersion will be there, converse this procedure. This one's very different, as you can well see, with eddy terminating here with the surfer, but you're still being shot through side by an in. So that's gonna be a concentration, I agree. I don't think from Woodside coming around the horn and back in will be anything like that. I could be wrong, but I don't believe so.
As long as they come in, it won't be, or have
to. Just due to the turn they have, the two turns they have to make, will. Just with human error, it's going to fan it out, you know. Unlike this, where they're going point to point to point.
Airline, the different configuration of planes and how they, you know, turn, altitude, speed, this is it. Yeah. Okay. Number five.
In looking at the procedure development graphics, is the use of the previous Class B airspace different than the current airspace? Can the FAA create a new graphic showing the previous and current Class B airspace?
This question came from concern of birds.
Yes.
Right?
It did. So one thing when we were looking at this, and when got me to go, hey, wait a minute, they just pulled this off the shelf. There's, I believe, this graphic. No, this is the radio fix.
It was April.
2013, yeah. So we noticed that in the images they had here, this is the Class B airspace from before. This is not the current one. So that's what led me to believe, hey, wait a minute, they just pulled this off the shelf and ran through. When I saw it, I said, wait a minute, this is the old one. And then we started seeing some earlier dates, but down here it says 2018, but it was 2013. When I downloaded it, the heading in the title said 2013. I was like, no, really? So it would be nice to see it on the current just to make sure it stays contained within the airspace, that they're not immediately going to have to go, oh, cancel, and redo it, and whatever. So we just wanted to be sure that using current.
Do we want to move that question up to the top? And then we won't have any more discussion. But,
well, and that question certainly should be submitted to the
comments.
IFA Gateway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Like, that's a technical question.
The long airspace version.
Does Mike qualify as a technical type person? Bert.
Yeah.
Bert, can you submit our question since you called?
Believe it or not, I wrote a lot of this. We can talk about it on the phone. Who's willing to do it? I'll be here for a while. I'll do it.
Exactly.
What, Thursday or Friday?
Any comments on this? So we're going to try to tweak these a little bit. You can send those out to this group. I'm not going to send them out to the whole round table, because we've been sending the questions like to Ricardo, the vice chair, and me, and the technical people. But since you're here and you made your investment time to do this, okay?
Yep.
Before you, but you got to promise that you take a look at it. What do you think, James?
Very fast.
James, this afternoon.
Because I'm literally trying to do what we can. Justin, it's better to take a crack at it, so I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So if I may,
yes.
This is the new Class B airspace.
Okay.
You can see it doesn't have so much of the rings and circles as it did before.
Right.
These are very much rings and circles.
Right.
The FAA, when they redesigned the airspace, went more for waypoints and angular to give back airspace they don't need that the circles encompassed and gave to them that they didn't need. So they wanted to give back airspace, and that's the reason they did it this way.
When did that happen?
April of 2018?
Just this year?
Yeah, it was finalized by April.
Wow, because, all my charts, right? It's all the concentric circles, wedding cake kind of stuff.
It's still a wedding cake, but it's
funny shape.
Angular.
Modernistic wedding cake.
Yes, sir. Geometric.
Okay.
We're in the computer age now.
Yeah, and whatever one. Okay, so thank you, Justin. Thank you for your work and kind of collaborated with James. Put your heads together real quickly. Mary Jo.
This is a more general question, so I don't think this is the right time, but I'm pretty confused about the questions to the FAA and the follow-up and all of this. Because, you know, we've had a couple of examples with the FAA where then they are supposed to come back, and so how does this follow up? And so is there a way to also, if we can think about new questions, it's hard for me to know what questions were asked versus and what has been answered and what is in process. So, you know, kind of in a technical project, you usually have a log file. You know, you have a question, the status,
I think that's why Beth was talking about it.
Go ahead, yes.
If Beth was talking about this is the place for these.
Yeah.
And to have an FAA technical person here where we can sit down and go out in the weeds and beat them up and cut them down. And refine it to the point of we asked this, and this. We were told this, and that. And we present that to the roundtable. So it's very distilled, very gone through. We can say, yes, we went out and did the dirty work, and here's the answer.
So I'll just add to that, and I think one of our goals was, again, that we'd have FAA representative at both meetings, but really the work gets done here. We've had two meetings with the FAA. The first meeting was really not a meeting, I must say. I mean, I think everybody agrees that it was not very productive. My bad, we didn't formulate the questions correctly or whatever. We went back, we thought that we formulated the question. And the 30-day period is, so after the round, after each of those two roundtable meetings, to the credit of the FAA, their coordinator, Fabiola, put together conference calls to debrief with us about how we felt with it. Very frank, and there's maybe 7 or 8 of the FAA people on, and I think we have like 10 or 11, right? I forgot all of our consultants so that we're all here. And, feedback, well, we don't feel like you were really listening to us and you were deflecting and, frank. And the message has always been that they want to establish a good line of communication, they want to be proactive with us. So that's all good, but still 30 days in advance, we've got to come up with some questions. And so at the last roundtable meeting, I said to all the roundtable members, I said, so send me your top 3 or 5, killer issues, okay, that we can then talk about with our consultants and come up with some questions. That, so asking the roundtable members to go to their constituents, from their point of contact in their communities, to come and bring to us the hot issues. I have received them. So,
pirate.
Well, but yes, we got pirate. We got that, and then that kind of came up as a, oh my gosh, what are we doing? And we got, we wrote a letter trying to get an extension. Congresswoman Jackie Spears' office really jumped on it, and they also wrote a letter requesting
Spears' office.
As did Attitude, right.
Okay, so, and now we see that it was moot because it had nothing to do with us, but I guess our question should have been in this extension letter, Is there any public comment going to be given opportunity for us really having some discussion about our concerns before this procedure is implemented? So, yes, Beth.
If I can, I'm so glad I started by telling these guys to go, I just want to sit quiet and listen. is I think that if we are doing better together, exactly the point that you're talking about, though, with this, what happened exactly with the fire, we wouldn't need to be moved because we would have had this conversation. Like we would have, there would have been a list, we'd be talking about it. The other thing I think that we'd like to see, I know I would like to see, is that we take a longer lens view of meetings and start to say, okay, so we know you guys have published basically your meetings for the roundtable for the year.
Yeah.
Usually have to.
Yeah.
You know, we should be sitting down and saying, okay, so for the next 6 months, what are the things we're going to talk about at each one of these recurring meetings? And what are the, you know, what are, who's come? So it's not every 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
This is a rolling calendar,
mm-hmm.
and making sure that whomever, if we know because somebody's vacation or somebody's sister's getting married or whatever, who's covering that one? These are the issues, you know, and this back and forth that you had with Bobby and the team, this is what I'm kind of trying to encourage of a follow-up to say, how did it go? What were the missing pieces? So the next time you have a meeting, that has been addressed. Either somebody else needs to be there, or a different person needs to be attending. But you know, we need to start thinking about this
long term. So,
which is the point of the work plan, and I've been struggling to get to that. And I'm not making excuses, but it's this constant putting out fires every other week that drains away from that. So,
exactly.
So next week I'm trying to dedicate to getting on the work plan, but we're running close out of time. So on that same goal, as we've been chipping away at the work plan, it's within that vein. What are we tackling within the next 6 months to a year? And a lot of the things that we've been dealing with that do come up out of the blue, like pirates, is sort of related to a market, as I like to call it. So while there is some general idea of what we want to start looking at and what we do in the next few months, there is also the opportunity to have some flexibility, and I'm just trying to get ahead of that.
Well, to our, I'm going to say credit, and James and I worked on this, and the very first 30-day letter that we sent them, we sent the list of our meetings,
yes.
Right? And that essentially what we were working on and will be drawing the questions up was the initiative.
Exactly.
Right? That was our first letter, and then they said, well, what are you going to do? So I don't know if it just went to the wrong person. There was so much upheaval within the organization.
It's not a fault. It's just, it's a reality.
Yeah.
With Glenn leaving, and then Dennis short term, and everything
right.
happened, and staff changing and moving. And,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's just a lot of change.
So we did. We published our complete schedule and said, but we're going to be asking questions directly from the initiative and the FAA's response of what's feasible, what's not feasible, and maybe misunderstandings of the questions that we had in that arena. So, yeah, I mean, and it's, so we're learning. So this is our third time at that. I hope we're not going to strike out. But
it is 0-2.
I think we had a foul ball.
So I want to add on to what Elizabeth said. All of this exercise is because of the FAA initiative document.
Yes.
The San Francisco Roundtable recommendation that were issued in November 2017.
The select
committee. The select committee recommendations as well. Responses, you know, FAA updates. The last one was in April 2018.
Yeah.
The documents that the FAA published in their updates were, for most of them, no, we will not do it. So I think we on our side have taken a long-term view approach, have reinvested,
yeah.
And this was the last resort, and I think you were even limited to 3 questions?
No,
or
no, I think
maybe
think we were just
so. And
trying.
Is
so
really,
you gave us a limit of 8.
So that there's a limit to how we can address this, because we have tried.
2 days, we scrambled for 4
when I say
or 3.
I'm talking about us. Not you. I'm saying our people, what our commitment is.
And then we get lunches like parrots in the middle, which just consumes everything.
No, and it becomes, it's almost impossible to have a, to not believe that something is being snuck in on.
Darlene, I just had a quick question. So in the desired.
Darlene.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm Darlene, yeah. I was gonna let Linda, sorry.
I was just gonna, I'm Linda Wall, I'm representing County Supervisor Dave Pine, it's a member of the county, but I'm here. But just to kind of summarize this, is that for the long view for you all, is the exchange of documents. All the topics are in there.
Right.
The questions we're coming up with are picking up our favorite, the ones we find are relative, we think are feasible, you've said they weren't, we want to have a dialogue about it. So that's not, I mean, we can reorganize it in a different form or put it in a spreadsheet, but that's the.
And when I say long view, I'm not talking about you having one, I'm talking about us having one. I'm talking about us taking these meetings, not on you, give us 30 days and notice on each one, but what is our plan to engage with over the next year?
Right.
And but that's what I'm saying, that's what we're trying to get to. And I think the other thing too is, even from the idea of the report, I will tell you, we had a big meeting and discussion the other day about the select committee report and the, because, you know, we're a big organization. And there's people who work on things, and then it goes somewhere to make sure everybody sees it.
And it gets lost, yeah.
So we need to work on that too, and one of the things we're looking to do is, again, with the regional administrator, the new regional administrator coming in, and having that, and the service center, and the air traffic organization locally, being the ones that are addressing, and then making sure that people are aware at headquarters, instead of things being kind of trying to go to headquarters and then come back. That's really, it expedites tremendously.
Well,
and I think it will help us too, because if problems are being solved here, then we don't have as much input from things that go in a congressional letter, because that then causes everything else up there to explode while things are trying to be answered.
We like to play the congressional card, because
we want to be doing it so nobody is playing.
Right,
it should be that we're working together so nobody has to play a card.
And as far as the long-term thing, we appreciate that, the long-term relationship, but we have won short-term results. We want relief, because our residents have been and are continuing to be. I mean, if you ever come to one of the public, it's heartrending. And these people, they suffer. I've been working with them for over 3 years. But anyway, that's it. I want to kind of close the meeting at 2 o'clock, because we have to respect everyone's time. Darlene have her.
I was just going to say, following your model, when would the FAA discuss pirate in this forum? In the model, assuming we didn't do anything, when do you see that coming?
So I think that one of the things we're trying to do right now, because I will tell you that where that was in the process was not totally visible to people in the RA's office. So as things progress down a path, sometimes in the operation, it's not always even visible to people that you would assume it is very visible to. So we're having that discussion about these types of procedures being addressed, being pulled out by the folks at the operations, the service center special. And then that being an escalated conversation about, these are things that we know that are concerning to this particular region, to this particular airport. Then the RA has the ability to have that conversation with the roundtable chair, with the airport, in the months leading up, say, we think this is something we should brief on, this is something that should go to the technical working group so you guys can see it, this is something that requires feedback. So we're hoping that happens 6-8 months out from something being where it is in a discussion period for before comment. So if something is before comment on an EA, well before that, because it should be part of a engagement plan. If something is proceeding that is in the works that we've been discussing before, as it comes up, it should be on a regular schedule for discussion here. So PIRATE, while it was in the April report, was not discussed, was not, here's what we're talking about, here's what we're thinking about. That should have been, to me at that point, that's where that should have been a conversation.
So in a way, we were a fail-safe to, I mean, this is process improvement, right?
Yeah.
So for now, though, we can pretty depend upon the need to talk
the roundtable meeting.
Okay, good. It, well, it is filmed, and so people can watch it. James?
Just a quick summary of action items. So Justin and I are going to do some changes to the letter. What we're thinking is just kind of leave the track changes on so that they can see where we made some changes in case they've already started to chip away. So anyways, we're going to look at it and...
And send it to Ann for sure. Do you want to get it? Ann and Annie.
All right.
And Doug and Linda?
Yep.
Okay.
So we'll probably try to send it early evening.
Early evening, yeah.
And if you can get it back to us tomorrow morning, I'll try to get it out by lunch. The goal, let's make a goal, try to get it published to, if you send it back out to the same folks as we talked last time.
Good.
And just let them know if there's a few typo changes and a few clarification that we added to it.
Perfect.
Done.
And that is a pass.
Yes, and Beth said it was okay.
We submit within our 30-day number. Okay.
Okay, good. I got what I need.
Anybody else?
Yeah, just real quickly, I'd just like to say,
questions?
I appreciate that you were able to take the time with the agenda, you know, away from the agenda to address an urgent issue like this, because we didn't know about this a month or 2 months ago, and we didn't know that this was the time that we had to respond. So it really is critical that we have enough time allocated on a sort of exception basis to address stuff that is over the waterfall.
Okay, so
if you miss it. Thank you.
And I guess if we're not having the GPS update.
I can give you a brief one. We had a discussion yesterday. So things are going very well with the GBAS siting. We had Honeywell out. They gave the locations. Right now, they've evaluated and feel it's very good. The areas that they determined to put it, the actual equipment, they've given the report back to the airport planners and the airport director who's evaluating it right now to see where that's going to go. The evaluation of the direct overlay procedures is with the FAA right now. The only one that's somewhat at risk is the PRM Soya, but that's not off the table. It's just right now, we're still looking at it. question came up today about a dual offset, so who knows? That's not officially in the pipe, but it could get there eventually. The other parts of the GBAS is we had a couple of timeline slip-ups, but nothing major. And so, all in all, it's looking very good for the SIM checks to come up soon. So what they've had to do for the airlines that don't have the true GBAS systems, they've had to convert it to more of an old-style input file for their flight simulators to be able to handle it. And so with that, we're looking at some real good results to come up, I believe, in January. And so, optimistic. Technically, the evaluations that Paul Hanna's been doing, the gentleman's been speaking during presentations, he stated that the airlines looked at some of his input files that they generated for the models, maybe a little too extreme, and so we may see better results. So I'm optimistic.
That's great.
Thank
you.
One
question. Yes.
The simulation results from Delta and I think United, I can't remember who was doing some simulations.
I think Delta, United, and America.
Okay, when are these going to be released? Because my memory was that mid-November, that slipped from September.
I think it slipped to January.
So now that has slipped to, and do you know why?
It's taken a while to get those converted files so that they can run their into their sims.
Okay. Second question.
And also, too, the airlines are doing this gratis.
Okay. There were plenty of comments that people submitted after...
They are still working through all of the comments right now. There's a whole slew of them. And we're getting a web page dialed up right now so we can have the presentations, the comments and responses, and also a general overview of the system and procedure.
So responses to questions would be on the website?
That's where we're going to answer them, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry about that.
Is the San Francisco Roundtable supportive of sending a letter to the NAC to increase community engagement? Is that a good question? You need to bring that up to the roundtable.
Me or you?
No, we, oh, we, okay, sorry. I don't think that.
Who's we?
We need to, because I don't think it's been brought up as a an agenda item.
Yes, and that's true. And that's to the point, and to be fair, Darlene has asked that.
Several times,
but we have not been able to have times approved to look at that because of all the other factors.
A zillion other things.
So my apologies for that. We've talked.
So maybe we could put that on the December agenda. We've got a proclamation and other presentations. Yes, please.
If I might, one thing. James, I mean, he's a really fantastic individual for us. He's a halftime planner with San Mateo County and halftime roundtable coordinator. So, I mean, this guy does the yeoman's work. Halftime we're on the meetings with him, he goes, I got to run because I got to go to the desk and do the planning.
We totally get it.
No, I really want to toot his horn. He won't do it, but I'll do it for him.
I like the overtime, but I also like so that's why I'm being particular about like what edits we need to do tomorrow and everything like that. So it's on the come. But I mean, even at, and I appreciate her. Even past that though, we have our agendas to try to keep it at 2 hours.
Yeah,
I know.
That's tough.
Yeah.
So
okay, maybe you need some consent items. You know, just do you have some? Okay. Anyway, I think. That's it, if anybody else had anything. Okay.
Thank you.
I loved the lunch,
actually.
Gives you the functionality you want?
It does. I mean, it'll do pretty much all of it. The one thing that I really wanted was, I don't know if you're